This podcast is brought to you by Pastor Terry Green and Celebration Church in Salinas, California. For more information, you can visit us on our website at celebrationchurchsalinas.cc.
To hear the word of God, that Jesus stood by the lake of Gennesaret. He saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he, Jesus, got into one of the boats that was Simon Peter's, and he asked Simon to put him out a little bit from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." But Simon answered and said to him, "Master, we have toiled and worked all night long, and we have caught nothing." Someone say nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their nets were beginning to break. Verse 7 goes on to say that they called their partners with other boats, and there were so many fish that when they filled those boats began to sink. So this was a miraculous, supernatural provision and really demonstration of God's nature in abundance and overflow, that Peter went from a hopeless situation, and everything changed when Jesus showed up on the scene. Amen. And so one more time, say, nevertheless. Lord, speak to us today in Jesus' name. So as you just read with me, Peter and his company or business, partners in business, in his fishing enterprise or business, and he really was a businessman, and they had fished all night and yet caught nothing, and they had toiled all night, and now they're mending their nets, washing their nets, and so as I read that, I felt like God kind of put this phrase in me as I was kind of taking notes. Long nights and empty nets. Long nights and empty nets. And what do you mean by that? I think we've all had some long nights and empty nets. And what I mean by that is long seasons of effort, exerting yourself to attain something better or something greater, working hard and just, you know, kind of working yourself as hard as you can to try to get something better for your life and for your family, yet there seems to be no payoff, no reward, and no progress. And it can seem like in those times that you are almost destined for long, lonely, cold nights and empty nets or unmet expectations. Is anyone hearing what I'm saying? Long nights and empty nets, or you could say delays, someone say delays, vicious cycles and dead ends. Wow. Long nights and empty nets. Peter was right here in this season of his life where it was delays, it was this vicious cycle of working hard and no payoff, dead ends. Have you ever felt like you were having delays and just seemed like your life was in a vicious cycle and there was seem to be dead ends in your career or your family or your marriage or your finances? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah, I think we've all been there at one time or another. And in these seasons, you're looking for answers. You're looking for God to come in and bring help and bring rescue. And I love this because in the middle of this season in Peter's life, in this long night, empty nets kind of a place, Jesus shows up in the middle of Peter's long nights and empty nets. And I think some of you may feel like, my God, that defines my life right now, just long nights and empty nets. I'm going to make a t-shirt. No, just don't do that. Don't do that. This is the first part of the message, all right? So don't do that, all right? But if we're honest, I think we've all been there maybe a time or two, and you're looking for, and Jesus shows up in the middle of Peter's hopeless situation and said, "Peter, what's going on, Peter? Come on, Peter. Launch out and let your nets down for a catch." Isn't it just like Jesus to show up right in the middle of your frustration and your difficulty and your pain and show up right in the middle of that and say, listen, go back and do it again. Now I love this because Peter had just been washing his nets all, you know, and all night, I mean, business going under, no profit, no money. What's he going to tell his wife and kids? There's nothing to eat. I've been out fishing all night and caught nothing again. And then Jesus shows up. But before Jesus tells him to launch out into the deep, Jesus teaches him and the multitudes. So now there's been time for faith to come. Because, are you listening to me? Because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Perhaps if Jesus would have given him the word right when he showed up, Peter wouldn't have had the faith to obey him. But because Jesus sat there and taught the anointed word of God, all of a sudden faith began to rise in Peter's heart. And then when Jesus said, now Peter, come on somebody. I love it that Jesus didn't teach him and then said, now go do whatever you want to do. Jesus taught Peter until faith began to come up in his heart. And then Jesus said, now Peter, go put this into practice. Launch out and let down your nets for a catch. And Peter could have said, you've all heard it, Peter could have said, but Master, I'm a professional fisherman, and you're supposed to fish at night because we fish with nets, and when you fish with nets, the fish are not, they can't see the nets at night because it's dark, and we've done that all night, and yet we've caught nothing, and now you want me to tell me and my professional group of friends and peers here to go out and fish during the day when the fish can see the nets? Are you crazy, Jesus? But thank God, Peter valued Jesus' opinion more than the professional opinion. Sometimes we can't be concerned about what the professionals think. Sometimes we have to be willing to obey Jesus regardless of what it makes us look like. And so I love this. And so Peter said, we fished all night and we've caught nothing. Nevertheless, somebody say nevertheless. I feel my help coming in here this morning. Nevertheless, at your words, I will let down the net. And so this is amazing, church, because it was the same water, the same nets, the same boat, the same equipment, and yet now everything's different because he had a word from God. I feel like preaching in here this morning that everything changes when you get a word from God. You can be in the middle of a hopeless situation and God show up in your heart and give you a word and it'll put faith on the inside of you. And demons begin to tremble when the word of God comes to a believer. Because the devil knows that when a word from God enters the spirit of a believer, that if that believer will choose to believe, that there is life-changing, miraculous power released when the believers believe. There's a reason why the devil doesn't want you to come to church. There's a reason why the devil doesn't want you to hear the word of God. He wants you to watch sports and go shopping and spend time on social media because he knows as long as you do that all the time and don't put any word in, I can beat your brains in. But the moment that you begin to open the word of God and find out that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, and you begin to find out that man shall not live by bread alone but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I came to tell somebody in here this morning, there's still power, wonder working power in the word of Almighty God. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but his words remain forever. He says, I'll watch out over my word to perform it. Hallelujah. My word shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish the thing for which I sent it, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it to do. There's still power. Hallelujah. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God, and he was with God in the beginning, and we beheld his glory full of grace and truth. Hallelujah. Someone say, there's power. There is power in the spoken word of God. The devil doesn't want you to hear a word. The devil doesn't want a word to come from you, because when a word comes to you, everything changes. You could be in the middle of losing for 5 years, but all of a sudden a word can come. I wonder if I'm talking to anybody who said, I know what you're talking about, Pastor, because I was sick and I was depressed and I didn't know where the breakthrough was going to come. But then God showed up in the midnight hour and spoke a word into my spirit and said, no weapon formed against you is going to be able to prosper, in every tongue that rises against you, you shall condemn. He showed up and said, if I am for you, who in the world can be against you? He showed up and said, I was
was wounded for your transgressions. I was bruised for your iniquities, and the chastisement of my peace was upon you, and by your stripes I am healed. Is anybody grateful for a word that he showed up and said, you're blessed in the city and you're blessed in the field, you're blessed coming in and you're blessed going out? Is anybody glad he said, you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood? Hallelujah. Is anybody glad that God said, if God be for me, who can? I feel like preaching that there's still power when God speaks a word into your spirit. Woo! I feel the power. There's tangible power when you preach the word. The Bible said that as Jesus was preaching, hallelujah, as he was preaching, the power of the Lord was present to heal. There's power in hearing a word from God, so much so that in the Old Testament, a word. Someone say a word. Peter got a word. He didn't have much, but then he got a word. He had everything. I know a word can change your life because I remember being lost in sin. I feel like preaching the unadulterated gospel of Jesus Christ. I remember what it was like to be bound. I remember what it was like to be lost in darkness and on my way to hell. But I came in and I heard a word that said 2,000 years ago, Jesus got on Calvary's hill and he took my stripes. He took my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquity. And he ransomed my sin, and he forgiven me forgiveness and righteousness, and he rose again on the third day. And I heard the word that said, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, so that whosoever should believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And I remember, Ryan, believing these blessed words, and I remember now that I'm no longer on my way to hell, and I can sing with the saints, blessed assurance, blessed assurance. It sure is mine. Hallelujah. Can anybody testify with me? I may not have everything I want just yet. I may not be everything God wants me to be. But I know I'm not on my way to hell anymore. And I gotta give him some praise. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. Shoo! Hallelujah. You know, church, sometimes the answer is being thankful for what he's already done. Being thankful for what he's already done. And so there was a word from God in the Old Testament. There's power. Someone say power. When you get a word from God, and that's why the devil will fight you. Because when you do get a word from God personally, you can stand on it. You can believe. And you'll see it come to pass. And so in the Old Testament, God came to Abraham and said, Abraham, get out of your father's house. Get out of your country, get out of your father's house, and go to a place that I will show you. And there, someone say there. There I will bless you. There I will make your name great. And the descendants of your descendants will be like the stars of the heavens and the sea of the sand. Huh? This is what God told him. And he had a choice to make. I got a word from God. And now I can believe it or stay where I'm at. A word from God is powerful, but you got to choose to act on it. I got to choose to act on it. When Abraham acted on it, hallelujah. When he acted on it, then when he got there, someone say there. When he got where God said to go, there God blessed him. There God made his name. A lot of times we want God to bless us where we are. And there's a certain measure of that because God is so good, but there's a limit. And then God says, now I need you to obey me. And when you obey me, there I can bless you. And there I can make your name great. Someone say power. So there was power when Abraham received a word. God showed up to Noah. It never rained. God said, build an ark. Noah said, what's an ark? You got to put yourself in Noah's shoes. It never rained. They didn't know what rain was. The earth was watered from the ground. The Bible says that from the fountain of the earth, the ground and the grass would be watered. So it had never rained. And here God shows up to Noah and says, build an ark because it's about to rain so much it's going to flood. He didn't know what rain was, much less a flood. But yet he had a word. Oh, Jesus. I just heard God say a word will get you out of one season into a new season. Come on, your life isn't governed by clocks and calendars. Your life is governed by what did God say.
That's why it's so important for you to come to church and hear what God is saying. Not because you just get a word from us, but what God is giving to us should bear witness with what God told you all week. And so Noah obeyed, obviously built the ark, and humanity was spared because Noah obeyed the word of God. And then the word of God came to Elijah. Word of God came to Elijah, and there was a drought. It was not raining for years. And so God told Elijah, go to the brook Cherith, and I'll provide for you by Raven Express. I'll feed you by Raven. I'll bring meat to you and bread to you, and you can drink from the brook. And so a word from God sustained and provided for Elijah when everybody else was perishing, because when you get a word from God, everything changes. Trying to tell somebody that when you get a word from God, everything changes. Am I right about it so far? Moses came to the Red Sea, and God said, stretch out your staff. Stretch out your staff, and there's Pharaoh, the greatest army in the world, is behind you, chasing you, charging, want to bring you back into captivity. You ever felt like the devil's chasing you? They came, the devil was chasing them, and the enemy was chasing them, and they had the Red Sea in front of them. God said, lift up your staff. He lifted up his staff, and when he did, God parted the Red Sea, and the children of Israel walked through on dry ground, because there is power when you receive a word from God. God has a word for you this morning. Launch out and let down your nets again. Someone say again. Again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, what do you mean? What do you mean, launch out and let down your nets again? Let down your nets again. I want to say more about the word there, but I feel like I need to move on. So they had a notice. It was hopeless, but now Peter had a word from Jesus, had a word from God. And so they're in the same water, same fish, same boat, same nets, same equipment, same people. Yet everything changed because they had a word from God. What about this? Same marriage, same finances, same emotional state, same situation, same kids. Come on, somebody, like Jesus. But now, someone say now. Yeah, now you have a word from God. It wasn't working before. It seemed hopeless before. And it seemed empty, just long nights and empty nets. But now you have a word from God. Let down your nets again, and you're going to see a net-breaking breakthrough. Hallelujah. I said, let down your nets again, and you're going to see a net-breaking breakthrough. What do you mean, let down the nets again? Dream again. Believe again. Pray again, praise again, give again, serve again, let down your nets again. Somebody say, do it again. In the Old Testament, there was a story where the man of God, there had been a drought, and he was praying, and he said, I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. This is what he said, and yet it had not rained in a long time. There was a drought. They haven't seen a cloud in the sky. And so he said, but I hear this. How many of you know you can hear things in prayer that your eyes can't prove? God in heaven. You can hear stuff about your family that your eyes can't prove. Huh? Your son's going to serve God all the days of his life, and your eyes are saying, it doesn't look like it. Right? You can hear God say, I'm going to provide for you, and I'm going to bless you, and you're going to be a blessing to others, and your eyes say, my bank account don't prove it. Hallelujah. Right? Are you listening to me? You can hear things in prayer that your eyes can't prove, but you know it's true because you heard it. And so the man of God was praying, and he said, I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. Rain meant that the drought was over. Rain meant that your kids are no longer going to starve. Rain meant there's going to be crops and food and prosperity in the land. Rain was everything back then. And so rain meant money's coming back to your family, blessings coming back to your family, health and provision and well-being is coming back to your family and to your nation. Rain meant everything changes. And he said, I heard a word from God. I heard a word from God that the abundance of rain is coming. And so he said to his servant, go back. Now go out and look and see if you see a cloud. And so he went out and looked, and then he came back. He said, I don't see anything. I don't see nothing. And so the man of God said, go look again. Okay, I'll go look again. And he came back the second time, and he said, I don't see anything. And the man of God said, well, go look again. That's just like some of you. But like, God, I've been believing. I've been expecting. And I go, and I look at my body, I look at my finances, I look at my marriage, and I don't see anything changing. George Lopez, I don't see nothing. Huh? I come to church, and they tell me net breaking breakthrough, abundance of rain, and then I go home, I don't see nothing. I look at my money, I don't see nothing. I look at my family, I don't see nothing. And the man of God says, go look again. Yeah. Ah! Someone say, go look again. And he went back the third time and came back and said, I don't see nothing. And then he went back the fourth time and came back to the man. I wonder if the man of God was discouraged by this point. That well, maybe there's not going to be rain. Maybe I misheard. Did I hear God? And the man of God said, go look again. And he went back the fifth time and came back. And then he said, go look again. He went the sixth time. I don't see anything. I don't see nothing. I don't see anything changing. No, come on, nothing's happening. The devil say nothing's happening in your family. Why you go to church? Why do you pray? Why do you believe? Why are you still giving? Why are you shouting God's praises? Because devil, you came too late to tell me that it's too hard for God. But something happened all of a sudden, Jerome, when he went out the seventh time. He looked up there and said, whoa, 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 whoa. Now we come with peanut oil. I see a cloud the size of a man's hand. I came to tell somebody, I don't care how long it's been. I don't care how long it's taken. I don't care how discouraged you may feel. I feel the Holy Ghost saying, go back and look again. Go back and let down your nets again, because you're about to see the abundance of rain. Is anybody ready for the abundance of rain? Hallelujah. Let down your nets again. Now, I love this. This servant kept going out and looking until he saw what he heard. That's where the battle is, y'all. That's where the battle is when you hear something from God. And the battle is, I heard it, but I don't see it. And that's why the Bible says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. I came to encourage somebody, if you don't see it yet, that's okay, baby. Just keep on walking. Because I walk by faith and not by sight. For the things that are temporary are temporary. Things that are seen are temporary, but the things that are not seen are eternal. Hallelujah. And if you'll believe God, you're going to see your temporary get overtaken by that which is eternal. Woo! That was some stuff right there from heaven. Your temporary can't stand up against God's eternal. Just keep believing. God's eternal is you're healed. God's eternal is you're blessed. You're the head and not the tail. You're above and not beneath. You're the lender. Now that's God's eternal. And if you'll keep obeying and believing, God's eternal is about to swallow up your temporary. So this servant had to choose to keep going, even though what he saw defied what the man of God heard. And that is where the battle is. When we don't see and experience what God has said to us. And the answer is, again, let down your nets again. Believe again. Pray again. Give again. Serve again. Do it again. I know you've been disappointed in the past, or you've seemed to be disappointed in the past. But God says, let down your nets again and expect a catch, because you're about to see a net-breaking breakthrough. Come on, if you believe that, somebody say amen. Hallelujah. Now, Peter said, nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. Jesus said, let down the nets, plural. Peter said, I'll let down the net, singular. I love it because God wasn't looking for perfect faith. He was looking for honest faith. And even though Peter didn't obey perfectly, he had a heart to obey, and God showed up anyway. Are you listening to me? That's a good truth when the devil says, well, you ain't done nothing. You ain't done everything perfect. You messed up in your faith. You already doubted. Let's shut up, devil. Peter doubted and sank. Are you with me? Peter stepped out of the boat, walked on the water. Who else has done that? Just Jesus. Right? Just Jesus. And yet he doubted. He looked at the wind and the way he doubted. And Jesus just reached down, picked him back up. And they walked on the water to the boat. So wherever you are in your faith, if you've fallen, if you've doubted, if you've been in unbelief, you can get right back up and start believing again. Someone say, believe again. God is looking for some nevertheless people. Right? Peter fished all night, caught nothing, hopeless situation. Got to go tell mama and kids, nothing to eat. Business is going under. I don't know what we're going to do. And yet Jesus shows up right in the middle of long nights and empty nets and says, Peter, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And Peter says, Master, we've toiled all night, caught nothing. Nevertheless, someone say nevertheless. God is looking for some nevertheless people. People who say it's been long nights and empty nets for a long time now. But nevertheless, I'm going to let down the nets again. Nevertheless, I'm going to believe again. I'm going to dream again. I will not give up. It's been painful, but nevertheless. It's been hard, but nevertheless. It's been discouraging. Come on, somebody. But nevertheless, it's been infuriating, but nevertheless. It's been hopeless, Jesus, but nevertheless, I will let down the nets again. I will get up and go again. I will praise again. I will believe again. Is there anybody here ready to believe again? I love this, that when Peter obeyed Jesus, when Peter obeyed Jesus, if you're taking notes, you can write these things down. I feel like God gave me these. When Peter obeyed Jesus' words, what was eluding him was now attracted to him. Notice this. Are you catching this? The fish that were eluding him, the blessing, the financial favor, the breakthrough that was eluding his nets, when he obeyed Jesus, what was eluding him was now attracted to them. Woo. The blessing, the breakthrough, the deliverance, the healing that seems to be eluding you, just obey the word of Jesus, and what has been eluding you will be attracted to you. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. That means they're programmed to follow you. Obedience programs the things, the stuff, the blessing to come find you. Listen to me, man. You know those missiles that are programmed to locate and follow and destroy a target. They didn't. Listen. Our armed forces didn't come up with that technology. Far before they ever found out how to put homing devices on missiles, bombs, whatever, Jesus had already said, if you'll just obey me and seek me first, I will program the stuff you need and the stuff you desire to come chase you down and overtake you. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. All these things shall be added unto you. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Wow, it's amazing what will happen when we choose to obey the words of Jesus. So number one, when Peter obeyed the words of Jesus, when he launched out, when he let down his nets, what was eluding them was now attracted to them. And here's the second thing God said. What they could not attain before they obeyed was now more than they could contain. What they could not attain without a word and obedience to that word from Jesus, now they could not contain the amount of blessing that came as a result. Now, this is good news for you, for me, for career, for family, for where we want to see God take, you know, what he's doing in our lives, because there's just some stuff, y'all, we just simply can't attain. But we can hear a word from Jesus, We can obey that word. And what we could never attain, God can bring such a blessing to where it's more than I can contain. That's some stuff right there. Hallelujah. That's, wow. Listen, there's been times I've seen that happen in my life. Things I could never attain. But I just obeyed a word from Jesus. By his grace, I didn't do it. His grace empowered me to say, Jason, will you do this? And I had a decision to say yes or no. And there's been times I didn't obey and I didn't get it right. But there's been times when by his grace I did. And all of a sudden you obey and all of a sudden it's more than you can even contain. You, hallelujah, you are living beyond yourself, above your capabilities. Let me talk to you for a second about this. Here's the third thing God said about this particular narrative. What was eluding them before was now pursuing them. Just like I said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow you. A lot of times the devil tries to mess with us and tries to haunt us with what's following you. Fear's following you. Destruction's following you. I'm going to kill you. You mind if I share what you share with me? Ryan had an experience where, obviously, Ryan's been following Jesus radically for years now and making tremendous impact and progress in God's plan and destiny for his life. And so the presence of God dwells in his home. And sometimes when you start doing the right thing, the devil try to show up. And so the devil just tried to do something, manifest himself while Ryan was sleeping. And he just told Ryan, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you. And Ryan said there was absolutely no fear. He said, then do it and I'll be with the Father. Love not your life unto death. And he just said, then do it, and I'll be with the Father. Devil knew. There's no fear there. Devil left. And I'm not trying to freak anybody out, but it wasn't like, I think I heard something in my spirit. It was like real stuff going on in the room. And when he spoke with authority, the devil had to go. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. I don't care what the devil's been trying to say to you. I don't care how afraid he's tried to make you. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. It's time for somebody to rise up with authority and said, all authority's been given unto me in heaven and earth. Devil, I resist you. Get out of here in Jesus' name. And the Bible says the devil came in one way, but he'll flee out seven ways. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. Wow. I feel like there's a couple of things I want to say right before I close. I've noticed in my life that, you know, I think everybody deals with inferiority. I've dealt with it for sure. And it seems as though when I'm walking closely to the Lord in intimate relationship with him, that his identity and his glory, hear me now, he fills in every gap to where that insecurity has no place and inferiority has no place. You're able to walk in true humility and not be intimidated by others or what others are doing. But in times of my life where I have not been as close to the Lord in personal communion with him, I mean, he doesn't move. He's always available, always ready. He's everywhere at one time. He's omnipresent. But how many of you know you and I can choose whether we walk in close fellowship and communion with him or not? Is this right? The Bible says he stands at the door and he knocks. So at times when I haven't been as walking in as close of communion and fellowship with him, that it seems like inferiority and insecurity try to rise up. And then out of that comes fear. You know, you may not know this, but fear and inferiority and insecurity are cousins. You can't have one without the other. I mean, if there's no fear, there's no inferiority. There's no fear, there's no insecurity. Absolutely none. Love casts out fear. And I'm telling you, when love comes in and does that to you, you're perfected in the love of God. You won't be inferior. You won't have insecurity. Somebody say amen. And so, but in these times, I have felt like I am not capable of doing what I need to do to move ministry, family, whatever, into a greater level of success or furthering God's plan. How many of you ever felt what I'm talking about here? You just feel like, man, I just don't know that I have the goods. And the devil tried to come and play on that because it never had anything to do with you anyway. Come on, somebody, or your ability. God takes those that are unqualified and does amazing things with them. And this is all, I mean, we know these things, but when you're in the middle of fighting it and you're feeling as though you don't have the competence or the ability to get things accomplished or done, then that's kind of a fight that I've had a few times in my life. And so, because there have been other times when you're walking with the Lord, God's doing so much above and beyond what you could think or imagine. I mean, you're seeing God do so much in ministry, in life, in family, financially. You're walking in levels that you're like, there's no way I have the ability to do this, yet I'm walking in the reality of it. Okay? So, I felt like what God kind of wanted me to touch on here is this, that someone say success. Success is a relative term, because I think sometimes the success that many people are chasing, if you were to arrive there, you would then turn around and tell everybody, this can't be success because of how I feel inside. So success is relative, but at the same time, there is a success in the Bible that is true success. And Joshua chapter 1 says, you shall meditate in this book of the law day and night and observe to do. Someone say do. Do all that it commands you to do. And then you will make your way, and you will have great success. When God gives you success, nobody can say it's anything but success. Now, when I read that, God spoke to me, triggered something in my heart. Someone say potential. The devil wants you and I to keep what is in us buried. Because I feel the anointing right here. There is buried potential and treasure in you that can affect your well-being. Look up at me. That can affect your financial status. That can affect you and your family. That can affect this city. There's treasure in you. The Bible says he's given everybody something. Some 5 talents, some 2 talents, some 1 talent, but everybody has something. And all it takes for you to increase is not to be the 5-talent guy. It just takes somebody willing to use what they have. But intimidation and inferiority and insecurity and fear will keep us to in a place where we are burying, keeping covered what God has placed in us. Is anyone listening to me? But yet, the potential, someone say potential. The potential is not any less real. It's there. Its potential is as real as the breath coming in and out of your lungs. Potential is not ethereal. Potential is not something you can't attain. Potential, God already placed. This is crazy. He already placed it in you. All you have to do is steward what he put in there. So what I have found is that, golly, God is saying, whether it's buying a house, whether it's leaving a godly legacy for you and your family, whether it's seeing your family saved, whether it's having success in business, whether it's progressing in your career, whatever you have desired that are godly desires, I'm telling you, the answer a lot of times is just locked up in us using what God is already giving us. Guy with the 5 talents and the guy with the 2 talents invested. They used what the master gave them, and they got double. Are you listening to me? They started operating in potential they didn't even have before. Wow. I feel like if I could convey this as big as it is on the inside of me right now, everybody in this room would run around this room and like, because you would begin to realize, I would begin to realize, all I have to do is just listen to him, do what he told me to do with what he gave me, and I'm going to start walking in levels I never dreamed of. Wow. Wow. Someone say potential. Yeah. Potential. And again, it bears, it fits right in line with this nevertheless message. Haven't seen it yet. Haven't experienced it all yet. But nevertheless, I'm going to obey God with what he put inside of me. I'm going to obey God with what he's told me. Come on, did you get anything out of this morning? If you'll bow your heads, close your eyes. If you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus, on the count of three, I want you to lift your hand. We want to pray with you. I want to pray for you. Secondly, you say, you know what, I've known God, I'm far from him. On the count of three, I want you to lift your hand. We want to pray with you, we want to pray for you. I sense the presence of the Lord coming in here to minister to every need. He's here this morning. He's here this morning. Just invite him in, just open your heart, yield your heart to him because he's here. He's here. The mender of hearts is here, church. There's his presence. The mender of hearts is here. The mender of the brokenhearted is here. For the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, for he hath anointed me to proclaim liberty to the captives, to preach glad tidings of good news, the opening of prison doors to those that are bound, and a healing of the brokenhearted. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I need to read that. I feel like the Lord asked me to read that. Hallelujah to Jesus. Isaiah 61. Come on, his presence is here, church. Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Phew. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Verse 3, I hear the Lord say, read it all. And the day of vengeance of our God, and the day of vengeance of our God. I hear the Lord say, his vengeance shall come upon your enemies. Are you hearing me? His vengeance shall come upon your enemies. To console, listen to this, to comfort those who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, and to give them beauty for ashes, and the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Hallelujah. That they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. For the mender of hearts, the mender of hearts is here. God, we thank you. We thank you for touching, for mending, for ministering to every heart in this place. Come on, you got to open up. You got to open up. You got to be willing to receive. Father, we open our hearts. God, we open our hearts. Come on, if you will, just lift your hands to him. God, we open our hearts and we receive the healing of broken hearts. The healing of broken hearts. Father, I thank you. I thank you. I believe. I receive the healing, the mending of those places in us that have been broken and torn. Shoo! Man, am I the only one that feels this? Jesus. The mending and the healing of the places in us that have been ripped apart and torn. The mender of broken hearts. I receive it. I receive it. If you need that, just say, I receive it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just sense the Lord pouring his oil right now. The healing oil, the balm of Gilead poured in you, in us, right now. Shoo, in Jesus, Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Father, we give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor for your presence. For you sent your word. And you healed us and delivered us from all of our destructions. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Everyone said amen. Whew. How many of you can sense his presence in this place? Anybody? Wow, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
This podcast is brought to you by Pastor Terry Green and Celebration Church in Salinas, California. For more information, you can visit us on our website at celebrationchurchsalinas.cc.